Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, as we said earlier, as you take your seat, you might as well get your Bible ready to go because we're going to the Word of the Lord. We always do. I found out something as an older man that I found out that some of these things that we learn about the things of God, we learn the hard way instead of an easier way by just hearing the Word and doing it. We find ourselves hearing the Word and not doing it until we finally have to hear it over and over again, and then we finally realize this is a way to do things. God would have us to understand tonight that He loves us. Every one of us have got ahead of us goals, visions, dreams, destiny, purpose. Every one of us are believing God for something, or you wouldn't be in this place tonight. Let's be honest with ourselves. If you're going to get anywhere with God and do anything with God, you're going to have to realize there's a battle ahead of you. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to just drop into your laps. I've said it a million times. There's nobody going to wave a magic wand over your head. It just doesn't really work that way at all. You're going to have to apply some principles of the Word of God. There's time for all of us to grow up in Christianity. It's time for us to learn what the Word of God has to say and start applying the principles that we see clearly in Scripture so that we can be, do, fulfill, and have the things that God would have us to have and that He paid for on that cross at Calvary. I don't know about you, but there's times when I get discouraged because there are days that are tough. There isn't one of us in here in our journey in life that's not going to have tough times. Tough in your business, tough in your economics, tough in your health, tough in your marriage, tough raising your kids nowadays. There's nobody really immune to that. You need to understand that when you became a Christian, you didn't just get some kind of immune system to every problem that there is out there. You're going to be attacked, and there's going to be lots of problems that are going to come your way and try to knock you off course. I find that a lot of Christians just give up. They just don't want to do the things that they should do, or they don't know what to do, so they don't do anything, and they find themselves off course. Tough days, let me say it again. Tough days, let me say it one more time. Tough days that you and I are going to experience in the future are designed to get you off course and get you out of faith with God. Because when you stop believing God for great things, God stops doing great things. And I want you to hear me tonight that tough times are difficult to deal with. And if you and I could just become tougher than our toughest day, it will make all the difference in the world to our future. What you are today will determine where you're going to be tomorrow. And so many of us miss that. So many of us let the day, let the time, let the pressures of life just take us from pillar to post, and we just, whatever is thrown our way, we just go with it and we allow it to happen in our life instead of making some changes and doing what God would have us to do. God is wanting us to be a people that realize that this walk of faith that He's called every one of us to is an easy thing. It's not so hard if you understand how to do it. And it's so clear and so precise and it's so easy that I felt like I needed to share it with you. Because it's with faith that's going to change your world. It's going to be faith that makes your marriage work. It's going to be not just faith that the marriage can work, but faith in God. He that comes to God, Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse number 6, must believe that He is God. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So I'm talking about the kind of faith that you just believe God for and you're holding on. And without faith, your marriage isn't going to be as great as you need it to be. Your business won't be as great as you need it to be. Your raising children won't be as great as it needs to be. Your home won't be as great as it needs to be. There'll be frustrations at every turn of the road stopping you. Why? Because you are one who's already been selected by satanic principles, principalities and powers, as called out as a Christian, and He looks at you and hates your guts, and He calls you a sheep for slaughter, Romans tells us. And so if you don't get tougher than your toughest day, then your toughest day will beat you up. And therefore, there won't be very many of you left in the church. And we've seen that over the years, time and time again. Three things to think about on how to become tougher than your toughest day. First one, I love. Simple. Have faith for one day. Take one day at a time. You know, a lot of times we want to take the whole week. A lot of times we want to take the whole month or even the whole year. Yes, people say, well, this has been a lousy year. Why did you think about it? In that lousy year, there should have been a lot of great days that you ought to be thinking about. And if you'll just take one day at a time, today I get out of bed, today I rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice. It didn't say tomorrow, but he said, this is the day. It's the Lord's day that he's asking you to live right now. And if you take too much, you know, it won't work. You take too much on yourself and too much by others and too many things going through your mind and too much discouragement, whatever it might be. If you just take one day at a time. Today I got out of bed. Today I lived in a house. Today I'm driving a car. Today I'm fed. In fact, I shouldn't have eaten so much. Today, you know what I'm talking about. And today, today, this is the day. And today you make one design expression. Today you're going to rejoice in the Lord. You're going to be happy for today. Sometimes we don't do that. We want to go and take the whole enchilada instead of the one day at a time. I want to just share this with you if I can. There's a neat little verse out of Joshua, the 14th chapter. I won't read but one verse and then I'll just highlight some of the others. In the ninth verse, let me give you an illustration. Let me bring you up to date. Now, Joshua 24 chapter. Did I say 24? 14. In the ninth verse, chapter 14, verse number 9. As I start to read this, let me set it up for you. Caleb, he's 85 years old. I love old guys in the Bible. Anybody with white hair know what I'm talking about? God is not finished with us yet. Thank you for that great big amen. Seven of you that are awake. And so, here we find ourselves in a place looking at Caleb's life. And he's going to take this mountain. And he starts to remember the day 40 years earlier that Moses told them to go to the promised land and he sent out the spies. And only two came back. Remember the 12 spies that went out? They spied out the promised land. Two came back, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, yes, we could do this. God said we could do it. Let's do it. The other 10 came back and poisoned the entire camp of Israel. Remember the story? And here's why the entire camp of Israel never accomplished what they should have accomplished. And we never see it in Scripture, but it's right there before your very face. And Caleb says these words in verse number 9. Listen to this. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Let me tell you something. When he made that statement in verse number 9, he was saying, Moses said something for that day. Didn't say something about calculating whether or not a week from now the giants are going to rise and take us out. Or that we're just bread for them. Or we're just bugs that are going to be squashed. And they talked themselves out of it because they didn't take that one day that Moses told them what to do and live that one day, but they lived in fear of the weeks to come and they never went into the promised land until the entire generation dropped off dead. So here we find one day. And then he gives us an insight on this one day. He talks to us on verse number 10, if you'll just pop it up and notice what it says. It says right at the end, and I am this day 85 years old. Verse number 11, pop it up. As yet, I am as strong as this day as on that day that Moses sent me. Verse number 12, it says, and the Lord spoke in that day. And listen to this. And he says, and you heard in the day now. And in other words, he's constantly motioning us to understand there was a day that Moses spoke that if you do it and keep that day, tomorrow God will take care of it. And they didn't keep that day that Moses spoke. And they went out and they now in their minds and their thoughts and their thinking saw the trouble that was going to come next week, next year, maybe 2 months, 3 months from now. And they were just grasshoppers in the sight of the giants that were there. And they never got the promised land because they didn't do the one day job. They went out and analyzed what it's going to be like next week, next month, next year. If you're going to be tougher than your toughest day, you're going to have to do one thing. Take one day at a time. And we don't do that all the time. What we do is we bring tomorrow's worries in. We bring tomorrow's frustrations and insecurities in. How am I going to make it tomorrow? The truth is, I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. I just know God's on the throne. And I'll make it not because of anything that I do anyway. I'll make it because He makes a way for me. And He usually makes a way for me that I don't know how even figure it out anyway. In fact, while you're just out of food for thought, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 34, Jesus is speaking. Take a look. Let's pop it up. Oh, they already got it up there. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about having faith for one day. Today I'm getting up. Today I'm going to do my job. Today I'm going to do the very best I can. Today I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Today I'm going to have a great day with God. I don't know about tomorrow. And he says these words. He says, here's Jesus. Therefore, do not worry. Jesus is speaking about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, you don't need to take on tomorrow's problems. Just have faith for today. And if you take it one day at a time, I'm telling you, life is really good. You know what it does? It keeps you up. It keeps you happy. It keeps you filled. Keeps you full of faith. It keeps you encouraged in the things of God by taking it one day at a time. Stop taking the whole thing. Stop taking the whole month. Stop worrying about next week, next month, next year. Now stop worrying about those stuff. Take one day at a time. Here's where I am today, and because I'm here today, I can believe God for today. So I need to have faith for one day at a time. And guess what, guys? I know you can do that. And that's a good part of it. The second thing that God would have me to share with you, and I think it's kind of fun also, and we're talking about the wonderful subject and how to become tougher than your toughest day. And the second thing is this. Every day, resist the devil. Don't think for a moment he's going to let you go. The moment you think he's not in play is when he is in his greatest play. And every day you've got to understand that you have an enemy that can't stand you. The Bible says you are made in the image of God. No wonder he hates your guts. Then he anoints you and washes you with his blood. Listen, he justifies you, sanctifies you. You know, sets you on the course to heaven, gives you the Holy Spirit. You got him living on the inside of you, which will direct you. And every single day, don't take for granted that you are not in a war. You are in a war. And if you don't take authority that you have, that God gives you every day, then who will take the authority in your life? Someone who didn't pay for your life. The satanic principles have never paid the price for your life. Only Jesus has. And he says, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, I have. I took him from Satan in Revelation, and I'm giving the keys of the kingdom to you. And what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want you to know something. Every day when junk that's tough that comes against you, don't just think that's life. Let me try it again. I want you to know that the junk that comes against you every day, don't just consider it that's the way it is. That's life. You have an enemy. Oftentimes that's throwing stuff at you, wanting to stop you at every turn of the road, wanting to discourage you and frustrate you. Debbie and I are two personalities, I'm telling you, that shouldn't be happy in marriage. Because she's a strong woman, I'm a strong man. She has her ideas, I have my ideas. She has her ways, I have my ways. But we're in love, you know why? Because every time we recognize when there's conflict, we know there's something there that is not of God, and we get back to God. And guess what? I want you to know something. We also take authority by praying together, saying, "You foul, lying spirit, I break that off of me and off of her and off our family in the name of Jesus." And you plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, clearly you are in a battle. Clearly he's given you weapons of warfare. Clearly he's called you the army of God. Clearly you can't get away from that, because here's what he does. He leaves you alone for a little while until you become complacent, and then he slams the door on you with your toughest day. And every day you got to be ready to fight with the weapons of God's warfare and do what God would have you to do. Every day you've got to resist the devil. Now let's take a look at that. James, the fourth chapter. In fact, if you got your Bibles, just go there with me in James, the fourth chapter. Let's just pop up on the overhead and look at verse number 6. You ought to see it more often than this. It says this: "But he gives more grace, therefore," he says, "God resists the proud." May I say this? Can I tell you what "God resists the proud" means? Doesn't mean somebody who's haughty and thinks they're all that. God resists the one who thinks he can do it himself. Because the opposite of pride, listen, is humility. Humility is dependency on God. Humility is not a low life position, broken down, having nothing, being a bum. Humility is dependency. Now he says God resists those that can think they can do it themselves without God. Go ahead and do it, because you won't make it. But with God, all things are possible. And greater is he, the Bible says, that's in you than he that's in the world. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit in me is greater than he that's in the world, satanic principles, I don't have to put up with that stuff. Why do you put up with it? Because you're not taking the authority that God's given you and stopping it by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that, man, you're just... Now listen to this, and gives grace to the humble. Gives grace means his ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it, to somebody who is dependent on him. That's exactly what the verse is translated properly to mean. That here's God, he gives his sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you cannot do it, to those that are dependent on him. Are you dependent on him? Absolutely. Is there an enemy out there? Well, let's see what the next verse says. Verse number 7. Listen to what it says. "Therefore, because of what I just said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submit to God, not doing it on your own, not being full of pride that you do this yourself, think you can do it without God, because it isn't going to happen. You're going to get your nose bloody and your life defeated. And you need to every day, remember, resist. Every day. Everybody say every day. This is an everyday battle. It's not just once in a while. If it's not an everyday battle, he'll leave you alone for a while and you'll coast. And like most human beings, you'll get complacent, and then he'll bloody your nose, bloody your family, bloody your children, bloody your life. Are you listening to me? He says, resist the devil. And the promise from God is he's got to go if you'll resist him. But you're going to have to submit to God, because why? He gives grace, his ability to get the job done on your behalf, because you're dependent on him. Wow, is that cool? And the word "therefore" up there is the word "therefore" because of the verse before it. So listen, every day I've got to resist the devil, because every day I could feel junky. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Every day I can feel like, ugh. Every day I can go, man, I tell you, ooh, what a lousy day. What a bummer. Man, this day, man, how you doing? I've had better. Guess what? You've had better. There's a worser coming. If that's a word. Because you have that attitude. The attitude is, hey, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. Can I say something? If you're more than a conqueror and an overcomer, who are you conquering and overcoming? And why does the Bible say resist the what? Someone comes along and says, well, I don't believe in the devil. Okay. That's nice. What religion are you? Because in our religion, Christianity, there is demonic principalities and powers and rulers of high places that are strategizing to get you off course by making your life tough. And if you're not tougher than your toughest day, you will fail. You'll fail in your marriage, fail with your children, fail with your job, fail with everything. All you have to do is get back on course. Number one, take one day at a time, walking in faith one day at a time. And number two, resist the devil every single day. And not give in. Because he's going to play with your mind. Are you hearing me? Because this is the arena of your faith, is your mind. He's going to play with your mind. Tell you what a loser, tell you what a failure, tell you you're going to lose. Cause you to take on the cares of next week, next month, next year that most likely aren't even going to happen. You should have taken one day at a time and let that go and rejoice in Jesus. Is anybody listening? Which brings us to our final point tonight. We're talking about how to become tougher than your toughest day. Number one, you're going to have faith for one day. Number two, every day resist the devil. But I love this one. Number three, I live by this. Every day I've got to stir myself up. You got to stir yourself up every day. You know, if you're waiting for someone to stir you up, that's the dumbest thing in the world. Because what you'll do is you'll go to work and you've got a bunch of people that call themselves Christians that are a bunch of bummers. They don't go to church. They're still smoking pot. They're still doing drugs. They're still getting drunk. They're still talking about filthy language. They're still talking about filthy jokes. And you're hanging around them all the time. And you know it. And I want you to hear what I'm going to say something. If you don't stir yourself up, I ask you, who is going to do it? Well, the preacher will. Well, I want you to know something. That's not my job to stir you up. My job is to get you smart so when the devil makes a tough day, you go through the tough day instead of camping in it. You got to stir yourself up, the Bible says. Every day I've got to get back in hope. Every day I don't know how it's going to work, but I know God's going to make it work. Every day it seems like I'm going to fail, but God's going to make me a winner. Every day it looks like I'm down, but God's going to put me up. Every day I'm going to be little, but God will make me big. Every day He'll make me what I need to be. And I got to stir myself up. In other words, I get down, I get depressed, I get discouraged. I hang around a negative world. You can't watch media. You cannot watch CNN. And don't give me this stuff, Fox News. What? God bless them. I think they're wonderful because they love Jesus on there and talk about Jesus, not afraid of Jesus. But I'll tell you what, you watch that all too much, you will be down and depressed and discouraged. God hadn't told you to get into politics. God told you to keep your eyes on Him. This whole system's going to burn. The whole entire planet's going to burn. You might as well understand there is global warming coming, and Jesus predicted it, and He is going to burn the whole place. But every day I can stir myself up because today might be the day that the eastern sky splits and the King of Glory, He's coming for me. Every day I can got to get in there and stir myself up. Man, I tell you what, I had a time today. So I didn't know anything about electricity. So I called Mike Deffridge, who works for at the church, one of our facilities guys. I don't even know if Mike's here. Are you here, Mike? All right, mark that down. He's not here today. But he's been here a long time. So I call Mike, you know. He comes to my house, walks in the basement. I'm like, I've been in the basement for like 4 hours in this rainstorm. You know, back and forth, checking it out, seeing whether or not we're going down, this is going. And I'm getting discouraged. And he said, I forgot to stir myself up. Mike comes in. He says, wow, this place looks really good for considering how much rain dropped on it. I mean, there's trees all over the place. There's water piled up in the yard. The backyard is flooded. And he comes in with that attitude. And I said, wow, you think so? He says, yeah. I said, well, Mike, what about all this electrical stuff? He says, turn it on. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it'll shut itself off. I turned it on. All the heaters came on. They're still on. Everything was wonderful. See, all I did is I forgot in the middle of the problem to stir myself up to the joy of the Lord and the hope that everything is going to be okay. I forgot. We all forget from time to time. And that's why you need to be in church to be reminded. That's why you need to have a spiritual friend to remind you. Come on. Debbie will tell me today, yesterday she said this to me. Was it yesterday? She said, today, let's just laugh all day. Now, I think she said that because I probably had a sour look on my face or something. And she would say, let's just laugh all day. And I'm going like, laugh? Yeah, she says, let's just have a good time. Let's just see everything is great. And I'm going, wow, I needed somebody to stir me up. You need someone to stir you up at times, but the best one that'll do it is the one you're with all the time. His name is Jesus. Three things. In fact, when David was at his lowest point, I'll just pop this up on the overhead. And for three chapters, you never see David relating with God at all. He's running from his countrymen. They're trying to kill him. The enemy is trying to kill him. He tries to join the enemy of Israel to fight against Israel. Some people make excuses all about that. He really meant this. He really meant that. Let me tell you what he really meant. He really meant he was so depressed he wanted to do something, get out of his depression because he hadn't hooked into God for three chapters. And then this chapter comes along when finally his family is stolen, all his goods are stolen, his men are going to kill him. Things have just gotten worse. It's his toughest day. The men have cried so bitterly because they've lost their family and children. They've lost everything, their finances, they've lost everything. They have followed David, and man, they are thinking about killing David, probably. And here in 1 Samuel 30th chapter, it says, and now David greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the souls of all the people were so grieved. Every man for his son, his daughter. And then it says these words. Remember, three chapters he has not connected with God. Three chapters his life is going downhill. Three chapters of bad decisions and bad choices. And you will find yourself, when you don't connect with God on a regular basis, going downhill. When you don't connect with God and learn and grow, get your heart back in with God, you'll be down, depressed, discouraged. You'll want to let them stone you. And he comes along and he says, but David strengthened himself where? In the Lord his God. He stirred himself back up. Guys, every one of us, we have three things to do. One day at a time. I can't make the decision for next week or next month or next year. I'm not there. I don't have to carry the load, the weight of that. I only know I have to live today in faith about God. The second thing is that I've got to every day risk the devil. Know that I am in a fight. And every day, can I just say this and be blunt with you? I just tell him to go to hell. That's not swearing. That's a place that was made for him. And he's trying to put me there on earth with him. I am not going, and neither are you. And so I tell him to go. And the third thing is that I need to stir myself up every single day. Every day you have a choice to do it or not do it. Every day you can stir yourself up in Christ Jesus. Well, if God spoke to you today, come on, give him a great big praise. Will you do that?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.